everyone, and welcome back to Never Work a Day podcast with your host, Kelly Gibney. On today's episode, we have Kira West. Kira, thank you for joining us. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I want to jump right in. Last week on August 1st, you launched your first jewelry design company by Kay West. You have incredible earrings, necklaces, bracelets. Congratulations, number one. And number two, what inspired you to start a jewelry line?
Yeah, so I will start by saying that launching a business during COVID is one of those things that just does not go as planned. So I have had the idea and have been working on it for a while. But with everything going on and needing to pivot and just figure out how to launch in the best way possible, I sort of launched in April and then took a step back and then really relaunched in August with a full website. I was selling on Pietra for a while as one of their creators, but really wanted to make things fully my own and be able to offer a guest experience that, you know, end to end was something that I was really proud of. I put a lot of work into my branding overall. So that, and I think my travel background, I'm super sensitive to what the experience is like for a customer from start to finish. So it was exciting and I'm glad that it finally happened. But lots of late nights coding things and trying to figure out how to make everything work last week. So definitely a lot. I think in terms of where I got the idea, my platform is really dedicated to wellness through travel and fitness. So having pieces that are travel inspired or inspired by the world that are made for a more active lifestyle was a beautiful way of putting those two things together.
Definitely. So as you've said, so for those of you who don't know, Kira has quite a following on Instagram where you focus on, as you said, wellness, travel, pretty much like overall healthy lifestyle, I'd say. And I like kind of don't love using the word healthy, but I guess like balanced might be a little bit more appropriate. Have you always been interested in these areas? Like growing up, did you always want to travel? Did you travel as a child? Or is this something that has kind of developed like over the past couple of years?
So I have loved travel for a long time. My stepmom, I would say, is probably like my earliest travel inspiration and influence. We traveled a lot when I was younger. So she would find really great travel deals and we would go places both like in New York City. She was a big Time Out reader and follower of what was going on. And then as we got a little bit older, we traveled kind of within the Caribbean and areas that were pretty close by. And then in high school, it stopped. When you have two fairly fully grown children, it gets a lot more expensive and like schedules were tough. Things just were busy. So I didn't really get to travel as much in high school and I started to really miss it. And really start to appreciate it. So looking forward to college, I was like, oh, cool. Like I'll study abroad. It'll be so easy. And like, it'll just work out. And my major was a bit unique. I went to Cornell University and I was in a college where studying abroad was just a bit more specific. And being in an independent major, it was really hard for me to make that happen. So I ended up getting creative and working a lot abroad. So I did volunteer projects. I did projects with small NGOs, like non-government organizations, startups, and things like that, where I actually ended up doing a lot of social media strategy and just digital marketing. At the time, Facebook was revolutionary and a lot of people didn't really understand its power in terms of not having a big marketing budget, but wanting to get reach and impact. So I did a lot of work there. And so I would say from there, you know, I was able to see places in the world that I had never seen before. I went to Cambodia and Asia. I went to Singapore. I went to Australia during my college career. And then right after graduation, I had spent some time traveling as well. And I think for me, it kind of reminded me how important it is in my life and how much of a priority I want to continue to make it. You know, even when I crossed the threshold into my adult life. So that's the travel piece. And then from a fitness perspective, midway through college, I think I just realized that it was time to start paying attention and I wasn't feeling optimal. I mean, I don't know if anyone is in college, you're eating crazy foods, you're drinking all the things. So yeah, It was just about really looking inside and trying to figure out how to be holistically healthy, or you know, to be well in a more holistic sense. So I did start to kind of look at the things that I was eating and try and just understand what foods made me feel good, and tried to eat a bit more intuitively. And then I also, you know, began working out. I had worked at the gym coincidentally at the time on campus, and I was so scared, like as a woman, for some reason, to lift, and, you know, felt like I was going to do things wrong, or like somehow someone was going to point and laugh at me while I was, like, I don't know, squatting in the incorrect form. And you realize the more that you work and the more that you kind of train there, that a lot of the gentlemen that work out are doing things incorrectly sometimes, and confidently at that. So, you know, I was able to let go of whatever irrational fear I had around trying new things and pushing myself, and that kind of continued after college as well. So those two things ended up coming together into my brand as it exists now. Since I couldn't really decide which one was more important, each of them is really important to me.
Yeah, I love that. Well, for starters, I'm such a huge advocate of working abroad. I did the same exact thing. I transferred midway through college, and that, like, I transferred my junior year of college, which is when most people go abroad. And so that made that whole experience a little bit difficult. But I did a similar thing. I worked in Ireland, and I had opportunities to work abroad. And it's cool because it's kind of a different take on getting that experience in college. And I love that you also did that. It's a really valuable experience. I completely agree.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting as well. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned Ireland. That was one of the trips that I took after college while I was working. But I think understanding the history and Northern Ireland and all of that stuff, I was just astounded by how little we learned.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that continues to fuel my desire to travel, just to really experience new things and expand my horizons. And I think, you know, for me, my parents and I had a really challenging conversation midway through my college career, where I wanted to go abroad, and there were programs that I could have potentially done over the summer through Cornell, but they were expensive and I didn't have the money. My parents didn't have the money. So they were like, you know, we support you in going places and doing things, but you have to find some way to fund it. And I've always been kind of like indignant and hard-headed and so I was like, okay, I'll find a way to do it, and ended up doing that through like these small work opportunities and like kind of volunteer opportunities. So I think for anyone that's in college that might be listening, there's always ways, I think, to get creative and to kind of
totally.
If going abroad is something that's important to you, but study abroad is not necessarily like easily available.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And like, I'm such a history person. Like, I find history to be incredibly interesting and important to learn. And like, I love that aspect of travel, which, like, I don't know that young people focus on as much, of like learning stories of other places and like learning the details behind other places. And it's not just experiencing a new culture. I like that there's like, you're experiencing a whole other story that makes up this place that you're visiting. I don't know. You mentioning Northern Ireland, like, just sparked that in me. I was like, yes, Northern Ireland is so interesting, and we don't learn about that in school at all in America, but it's such an interesting, like, just crazy things that happened there.
Yeah, I had met someone, her name was Hannah. Actually, she is from Ireland, and she was working in New York for a summer, and we did an internship together in a hotel. And when I went to Ireland, I had the opportunity to go to Northern Ireland, where she's from. She's from Belfast. So I got to meet her and her mom, and we kind of drove around, and they gave me the inside scoop on the history. And you know, for me, I'm like, this is something that was so recent, like 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about it. We don't learn about it. And I think it just, you know, was a reminder for me that it's kind of on me to expand my horizons to some degree, and to kind of ensure that as I'm moving forward, you know, when I have a family one day, that I'm mindful of the fact that our school system just doesn't necessarily have the breadth and depth that I feel like true global citizens really need.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And then pivoting kind of to the wellness aspect, I think it's so, like, I have had a number of like ex-college athletes and other people who have had some pretty extensive careers in sports on this podcast. And something that's always talked about is like the way that women's bodies especially adapt to fitness. And there's such a like stigma, which I think is getting super destroyed. It's like destroyed, it's such like an aggressive word, but like that is kind of getting turned over, where like you can lift and not like be a bodybuilder. And like I love that you mentioned that, because I felt the same way. And
I know, yeah, it's funny because I worked at the gym, so I would literally be paid to sit there and check people in, but like also just be observing. And we got training on form and things like that, and how to spot. And I was so surprised to find that a lot of the fear was really in my head, and I wasn't an athlete. It's a term that I feel like I didn't even kind of identify with until more recently. But I didn't really explore my, you know, like challenging myself physically and mentally until toward the end of college, and even still. You know, it was a pretty intense last 2 years for me, just with a heavy course load and doing a lot of things outside of my classes too, and working and all of that. So it wasn't until I think, you know, I graduated and came into the real workforce that I started to really focus on it even more. But yeah, I think as women, sometimes you're kind of so mindful, I guess, of how you might be perceived, that it's almost even more challenging for you to kind of overcome that. And yeah, realizing that so much of it was me and myself, and like no one else really cared.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's like, I feel like that's like the way for like almost everything is like I always think that like other people care more than they actually do. And I'm like, wait, this is my own thing. Like take a step back. But then, so putting these two things together, how did you, have you always had an interest in social media? I know that you've like worked in marketing before and currently work in marketing. And was, when you started posting with an eye towards spreading information about what you're doing in travel and wellness and kind of the makings of your Instagram page, did you start this page with like the conscious intent to build a following and build a platform, or did it kind of just happen organically?
So I will back up by saying that a lot of the projects I ended up doing in college were marketing or social, like digital related. It was at a time when a lot of people just didn't understand how you could use these platforms for businesses. And it's funny because now there are businesses that really have gained a lot of their traction through social channels. And, you know, for a lot of brands, that's a really key part of their strategy. But at the time, this was like, gosh, maybe eight years ago, that wasn't really the case. And these platforms were still new and people were still trying to understand them. So I did a lot of that in college. And then when I graduated, I've actually never worked in a full-time marketing role. I've always worked in hospitality and travel, and now more on the tech side of it. But for me to keep my skills agile, I've always kind of had my account and understood how the platforms work. And I spent a lot of time in college teaching myself, researching, trying things, and that sort of stuff. But when I graduated, I didn't, you know, I was getting projects every now and again, kind of doing some consulting on the side, but wanted to keep myself fresh and on top of things. So really started leveraging my account. I started more in the travel space just because that was a lot of what I enjoyed talking about, what I enjoyed taking photography of, and what I was doing in my free time, of which I did not have a lot initially.
Yeah.
And then kind of, you know, took a pause on some consulting, but really wanted to make sure that, again, I wasn't losing the knowledge because I didn't use it every day during the day. So started just being a little bit more targeted with Instagram. And I think years ago, it was a lot more simple. If you were engaged, you had solid photography, you knew a little bit about hashtags, you could really grow. Now it's a little bit more complicated and nuanced, but the platforms were just so much more simple. And so I think, you know, I was able to kind of capitalize off of that, and then, you know, was able to really build as travel has been crucial when it comes to social connections and Instagram, I think, as well. The closest you're going to get to understanding what an experience could be like is photo and video. So I think Instagram kind of thrived there. And I was able to take advantage of that a little bit. And then, you know, I think as I was trying to figure out the future of my brand, I really struggled with, am I more travel? Am I more fitness? Because both were so important, you know, within my life. I was running at the time, you know, training for marathon. So it was really important to me. And it was something that people were asking me about. So I took a step back and I had a conversation with a friend who was like, well, why can't you do both? And I'm like, huh, I guess that's an interesting, you know, concept. You know, is there a world where I could blend these two things together or articulate what my niche is in a way that makes sense? And that kind of led me to buy Kay West, which is wellness through a lens of travel and fitness. So I don't have to decide between the two of them because for me, wellness really does include both. So being able to share that has been kind of how it's grown. But I didn't go into it thinking I would have a blog or really trying to get, you know, the most followers possible. I did want to build a community and add value, but I think it's beautiful to see how it's grown and continued to grow. And I think when I look at the future of social and where, you know, influencing, for lack of a better phrase, is going, I do think, you know, having a physical product is powerful and amazing to bring your brand you know, to the masses in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's an answer I really have never heard. And I think that is so cool that you started doing, not started doing it, but really got involved, more involved in social media to like keep your skills sharp. Like, I don't know. I just think that's so cool. I think that's not something that you hear a lot. And I love that, like, being able to do that and like doing that for yourself has also now turned into like you being able to help other people through your platform. And I think that there definitely is a space for both, and kind of thank God that you have both now, because travel is unfortunately like so uncommon, and now you can kind of still provide that aspect while still keeping like up-to-date engagement on wellness, because that is something we can still do during these sad, scary times.
Totally. I think, you know, wellness has definitely allowed me to pivot and have flexibility and just have different types of conversations that are not explicitly related to travel or even to fitness. I think both areas of my, you know, brand have changed a lot in the past few months as we've adapted to COVID, from online classes to studios, really looking at what the future of wellness and fitness will look like, to also travel being just a completely different space, especially in the U.S., than it ever has been. So I'm so grateful that I have the flexibility to kind of work between both and, you know, continue to find unique ways of encouraging people to discover what wellness means for them at this time, and then you know, moving forward too.
No, totally. So now that you have this and you've built this, when it started to grow, because you do have a full-time job outside of By Kay West and the brand that you've built, when it really started to grow, was there a part of you that was worried that you wouldn't, number one, have the time to do everything, and number two, like, be able to give both of your jobs, I guess you could say, the like tender love and care that you believe it deserves?
I think when you are working full time and doing something outside of work that is, you know, its own business, and I'm sure you can kind of feel me on this, you do have to just be mindful of what your time looks like. And I would venture to say that I probably have less idle time maybe than the average person, you know, my age, because I do spend a lot of my time outside of work working on my own business and growing By Kay West and Made By Kay West now. So I think I have sacrificed, you know, some of my relationships with my friends, and that like I can't go out and do brunch and drinks and all those things as much anymore, because I'm trying to get through my to-do list and make moves for my business. Mm. So I think I'm not necessarily doing it all, but just being mindful of what I'm choosing to prioritize. It's also not something that I will say that I've mastered quite yet. I do think I'm at the point where I'm thinking of maybe getting some more help. So I do have some management representation that helps me with a couple of campaigns and trying to kind of feel out management on that side of things so that I would have more help with organizing sponsored content, which for anyone who doesn't know is way more work than it looks like. And then also like on the accounting and admin side, especially with, you know, launching a product, there are lots of little things that you have to be mindful of and keep track of. So trying to figure out when is the right time to bring someone on, you know, to assist. But I think I just try and really separate when I can. And I do sometimes work weekends and struggle to take time fully off. But, you know, I think it's something that I want to do. It's something that I want to continue to prioritize. And I think that there's now this idea that having a full-time job is somehow not, you know, great or not ideal, or somehow cheapens your entrepreneurial spirit. But I think it actually allows me to be a more successful business person outside, because I have, you know, steadier income. I'm learning, you know, skills on the job that also help me negotiate outside. So I think there's a lot that one could take away from it. And in these times with so much being uncertain, I'm super thankful to have that to allow me to continue to figure out, you know, where my business can go and take the pressure off of that in terms of trying to, you know, continue to live life as it silly with COVID.
I think, oh my God, it's crazy. But I think that's awesome. And I definitely, like, it is such a weird time in social media right now where, like, and like you said, like, for lack of a better word, influencer, and like influencer, that term is so interesting because in some areas it's like completely embraced and in some areas like people are uncomfortable with using it. But it is so interesting with the rise of social media and personal brands and all these things that there is an aspect of it that I think is totally glorified. And like, tell me if you disagree, but I think that like people who are not building these personal brands and using social media as a means of like living and like their jobs, there's such like a perception that it's like easy and it's fun and it's desirable almost. And like you said, like having a full-time job isn't desirable anymore. But I think it's really great that you are able to do both. And I think that a lot of advice that like I have received that people have given on this podcast has been like, before you jump into something so uncertain, like don't just quit your day job because you have this idea to like build a brand or start a new company or create a jewelry line. Like know that you're going into it like prepared for the uncertainty. And I think that like, yeah, you don't need to quit your full-time job to like pursue a passion project and make that a part of your living. You know what I mean?
I agree. I mean, I think there's a lot of romanticizing that goes on, whether it be with entrepreneurship and just kind of seeing the success stories, and then also with influencing, just kind of seeing the highlights of it. I think it's definitely really challenging to pay bills on sponsored content, I'll just be honest. And I'm really not wanting a feed that's sponsored, because I need to pay rent. So I will say having a full-time job allows me to be selective with the companies that I work with and to really, you know, stand up for myself when it comes to the value of my time. You'd be so surprised, or maybe not you, but some listeners, by the large brands that try to pay way less than they should for work that takes quite a lot of time. And so, you know, having a full-time job really allows me to navigate those conversations and to push back. Which I think is important because, you know, being an influencer or, you know, being someone who has a personal brand, it's, you know, it's you. You're the one usually, unless you have some sort of management or representation support that's sitting across the table from the brand, advocating, negotiating, and all of those things. And it's your brand at the end of the day that kind of reflects back on you very directly. So it's important to make those decisions with care. And I also think, you know, from a full-time job perspective, I don't know if it's a millennial thing or if it's just this like Silicon Valley entrepreneurship, like startup, you know, love that we have going on, that we've started to discount, you know, having a full-time job, or, you know, kind of make that seem like it's the unglamorous, you know, secondary option. And I think a lot of times you can love what you do. You can like working with a team and still want to be entrepreneurial. I think, you know, I don't know if I could have launched my jewelry line, especially during COVID. I mean, there's a lot that goes into launching a product, and it does cost a lot regardless of what it is. There's a lot of logistics and things like that. And so I think having a full-time job definitely helped me to be able to, you know, launch without having to put a lot at stake from, you know, a living perspective. So if I hadn't had a full-time job and I was trying to launch this company, like, would I be still able to pay my rent? I don't know. Like, could I have done it in this timeline? I'm not sure. So I think, you know, those are just some things to think about. And I think I'm really big on not having to select what works for the masses, but, you know, creating a life that works for me. So for me, working full time and having my own brand is, you know, a beautiful, slightly chaotic, not always balanced choice I'm making. And for some people that may not make sense, but I think, you know, I would hesitate, to feel as though you're not doing what needs to be done if you, you know, are not 2 feet into entrepreneurship or 2 feet into your full-time job. I think there's a lot of ability to do both these days.
Yeah, I love that. And like, I've talked about this on the podcast before with Kate Kennedy, who was in guest I had a few weeks ago. And like, this goes to the new perception on like full-time jobs and like this glorification almost of like entrepreneurial mindsets is like, or entrepreneurial paths is like, I worry for like the Gen Z generation that is like growing up so saturated by social media that like, I just can't see a ton of kids like going through college and being like, ah, I'm going to become an accountant. Like, I'm going to get this like normal 9-to-5 job. Like, I feel like within that generation now, there's like such a, maybe it's a great thing, like that it's opening everyone's eyes to like how many other ways there are to like make money and have a living. But it is interesting, like I'm curious to see this like new generation of Gen Z grow up and like what kind of careers they'll pursue. And again, like you said, not to like project all of this on like the masses, but I'm curious to see the trends that start taking place.
Totally. I think it's beautiful that entrepreneurship, it's been a long week, is more normalized. I feel you, girl. I love that it's more normalized. I think when I was going through college and I had the spirit and I was looking into what it was to be an entrepreneur, there wasn't as much support, documentation. Like, there are so many books written about it now, articles, movies. Like, you can really understand what it means to be an entrepreneur, I think, in a different way than you could a decade ago. So I think what's beautiful for the forthcoming generation is that there are so many more options. But I think with that, you know, we're kind of losing some of the patience that, you know, our parents and grandparents had, where it's like you did patience and commitment when it came to, you know, careers and jobs. So I think I've tried to kind of find a balance between, you know, loving what I'm doing during the day and wanting to grow and being committed to a company that I feel like is really great and going places. And then also, you know, finding ways to work on passion projects and things that I love as well. And I think you have to know yourself as a person. So I worked in a lot of startup environments in college and for a lot of nonprofits and things like that. So I was able to learn, you know, that there are other sides to entrepreneurship and that it is quite challenging, and that you can have a great idea, but you need so many other things to align. And there's a lot of hard work that would to create success. So I chose to, you know, go with a more full-time focus when I was looking at post-college jobs, and then to continue to, you know, maintain what I loved on the side. But I think if you do truly have that entrepreneurial spirit and you understand what it takes and are willing to make some sacrifices and all of that sort of stuff, then I think you can totally go that route. But there's no one size fits all. And I think there's more options than ever. And I would say, you know, each option is not without its challenges. I think having a personal brand is beautiful, but it can also be challenging to be your own boss. And then, you know, working in a corporate environment with different sets of resources and challenges and things like that. And then working for someone else's startup is a whole other beast. So, you know, I would just say to really think about who you are and what you want, and understand that there are going to be some challenges whichever way that you go, and rewards as well, for sure.
Yeah, I think that that last piece is so important, is that like everywhere you go, there are going to be challenges and also rewards. Like I just, today's my last day at my full-time job, and I'm pivoting into the medical field, which I originally have been working in law, and I'm doing like a 180 degree. And a lot of people I've talked to have like focused, this is not to say, some people I've talked to have focused solely on the positives of the medical field path that I'm going into, and some others have focused solely on the negatives. And I think that with life experience and having experiences at other jobs and companies and areas, like you, it opens your eyes to this fact that, yeah, there's going to be challenges with every single job. Like, you simply can't escape it. You're not going to love any job 100%. No job is going to be 100% easy, but it just is like, how much do you weigh the rewards against those challenges? Like, is it worth it? It's like a cost benefit analysis. And I mean, I like to think that what I'm doing is, and I hope that you feel that way too about yours. I'm sure you do.
Totally. I think it's definitely a beautiful like set of opportunities. And I think just, you know, I've become a lot more comfortable in knowing what works for me in terms of where I want to go. And I think I had this idea of career. I don't know where I got it from when I was in school, that it was very linear and that I was going to be in a job after college, and then boom, like I'm kind of set and that's just where I stay. And I realize that there's a lot more that you kind of have to control and do on your own in terms of getting to where you want to be, but that it's okay to kind of pivot and change things completely as you grow and change as well.
Yeah, I love that so much. I similarly had that same mindset of like, it's a very linear process, and it's definitely not, that's for sure. There's so much more. There's so much more that you need to do to allow yourself to be the person that you want to be in all aspects of your life, not just in your career and working world. So then I guess like this is all to kind of lead into like the $1 million question of this podcast, which is like, do, aside from your like everyday, your full-time job, which you have said that you do really enjoy and are committed to, your brand that you've built and by K West and made by K West, when you're working on all of these things, do you feel like you're doing work, or is it just something that you have curated and love so much that it's just that, it's just, you're just giving energy to something that you are passionate about?
So I actually think it's a little bit of both. I definitely think, you know, my passion is in my platform, and I hope that that comes across to my audience in terms of, you know, the fact that I really do love travel, wellness, and fitness, and I'm so passionate about helping to make wellness more inclusive as well. But I think there is still work that comes with that. And going back and forth on email, contracts and things like that are maybe not the most fun I've ever had, but I do think that it all rolls into like a really beautiful community. And I always look forward to kind of like, you know, what future opportunities will come from the diligence of kind of like working through some of these more administrative tasks. But I would say I definitely don't look at it as work necessarily. I look at it as, you know, something that I do love and enjoy. But I think there's this idea that just because you love and enjoy it, there won't be challenges and hard times and things that you maybe don't enjoy as much. So I definitely think that it's a bit of a balance for me.
Yeah, no, totally. That makes sense. And then, like, lastly, you're in a unique position out of all of the guests on this podcast, because you still have kind of your foot in like two places. You have your full-time job, which you spend so much time doing, and then you also have this other thing. If you had any advice for someone who is looking to start a passion project or make what they're passionate about their full-time job or try and build a business, like what piece of advice do you have for them?
I would say definitely save. Everything costs
yes.
more than you probably think that it does. I realized that when I was starting Made by KLS, just like as you're launching a product and just with the shifting things in the world right now, it's so important to really have a safety net. I know Ali Bonner, I was listening to Queencast the other day when she was talking about going full time with her business. And that was one of the biggest things too, that she was kind of mentioning. I think you blow through money a lot faster than you realize when you're
using. Yeah.
I would say also just to be very intentional and to have a plan. So just because I'm not full time with, you know, by KWest at this point doesn't mean that I don't want it to grow. And maybe that's something that I would do in the future. So I definitely have a growth plan. You know, I'm planning to scale. I'm trying to, you know, really be mindful of where I want to see the brand go, because things might be great for now, you know, with my brand or anyone else's. But if you don't have a plan in place or you don't have the infrastructure to scale, then, you know, the growth will end up kind of stagnant. And so I think, you know, I'm also a fairly risk averse person when it comes to like my livelihood and my living situation. So I would also say just to really look at what your expenses and income look like, and to understand kind of what that will be like once you make that shift. But yeah, I would say, you know, there's no rush in one way or the other. So you kind of have to be patient, I think. If you are going to go fully full-time with your passion project or company, and then, you know, if you are going to kind of work a bit longer and try to balance the two, I think there's some patience and commitment that comes with both ends of that. And then, you know, worst case scenario, I think it's okay to pivot again. So, you know, if entrepreneurship isn't, you know, helping you to sustain your life, I mean, I think it's okay to kind of find a job again and circle back on that. I feel like there's this stigma that once you go entrepreneur, you can't go back, or, you know, once you're full time, like you can't kind of leave again. And I think it's a delicate balance, but you do have to kind of be mindful of what will work for you. So yeah, that would be my advice.
No, I like that a lot. And I actually had, her handle is What's Emily Doing, which is what people may know her best by, but I had her on the podcast and she jumped into influencing and made it her full-time gig. And now she has kind of stepped back and is going to go back into kind of the corporate world, back into a startup. And I loved hearing that perspective, because like you said, like, I think that there's a fear of pivoting once you've made a decision and like becoming comfortable with the fact that you can change and it's okay to change is like so crucial and important in so many aspects of people's lives, but in this context I think very important as well.
Totally. And I think we're in an unprecedented time, so I would just say to be kind to yourself and to be patient, like even more than usual, because I didn't expect 2020 to go the way that it's going. I'm sure no one did. And there's a lot that,
yeah.
there's a lot that's outside of our control. So I would say, like, if you're choosing to pivot now and it doesn't work out, it's not necessarily a reflection of you and your hard work and your great idea. It just could be a function of what's happening in the world. And I think we've had to
look. Yes.
This year more than ever is like, you know, pivoting is kind of necessary, especially when there's so much going on that we are not in control of. And I just want to help destroy that stigma that like once you make a decision, you can't, you know, pivot and change. And I'm not always the most flexible. Like I love my plans and I definitely get attached to them to a degree. But I think COVID has taught me that, you know, sometimes when you change direction or just adjust the plan that you had, things can end up even better than you could have envisioned. So keeping that in mind too, that, you know, going back to a full-time job or shifting gears doesn't mean that you failed. It just means that you're kind of learning and growing and changing and evolving.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree wholeheartedly. But we are running out of time, so I want to wrap up and ask what I ask everyone. Do you have an Instagram right now that you're currently loving the content that they're putting out?
So I was listening to a podcast last night, and I discovered Blair Imani, and she is a Black bisexual Muslim who writes and chats about history and just really challenges the status quo. And so I've been loving her content, I think.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's so refreshing to, you know, be able to see someone living their truth in such a way that is so honest and raw and real. And I'm sure she's not the only one, but I think, you know, being different is challenging, and really embracing that you are different is beautiful. So I've been quite inspired by her content and the way that she's very honest with her audience as well. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah. Wait, so can you say her name one more time? I just want to make sure I'm following her right now. So I want to make sure I get it.
Blair Imani.
Blair Imani. Is it E-M?
B-L-A-I-R-I-M-A-I.
Okay. I found her. Amazing. Well, and then most importantly, do you want to plug yourself? Where can people find you? Where can people find Made by Kay West, your brand new jewelry line? Throw it out there.
So Made by Kay West just launched the Special Edition Worlds Collection, and these are jewelry pieces that are made with precious metals. So they're designed for an active lifestyle. I wanted them to be pieces that are travel and world inspired that you can really live in. So the Instagram handle for me is by Kay West. And then for the jewelry specifically, it's Made by Kay West. And my blog and website correspond to the two of them. But really excited, we'll be launching more continents as we get throughout the year. And a part of the proceeds from the special edition collection will be going to Girls Going Global. So while we talked a lot about travel and how it's at a bit of a stagnant point right now, this organization helps create cultural immersion opportunities, both with, you know, within the U.S. domestically and then abroad as well, and helps to fund passports for underrepresented women of color. Young lady specifically. So yeah, definitely check it out. And I'm really excited to be continuing, you know, my storytelling around some of my travel memories as well as I launch the other continents.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Well, everyone definitely go check that out. Kira, thank you so much for joining me this week. Everyone, this has been Never Work a Day Podcast with Kelly Gibney. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you listen to your podcasts. Kira, thank you again. Everyone, have a good day. Bye.